Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 29th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe is expected to return home Sunday from his five-day visit to China and head straight into a political storm caused by growing factionalism in his ruling ZANU-PF party.
The MDCT says East Constitutional Review Committee has wrapped up its task of gathering views from party members. Members are, however, divided over proposals to give more powers to party president Morgan Tsvangirai.
And HIV activist Beck Health Minister David Parirenya to a statement that prophets who claim they can cure AIDS should be arrested.
President Robert Mugabe is expected to return to Harare Sunday from his five-day visit to China.
And he's expected to head straight into a political storm caused by growing factionalism in his ruling ZANU-PF party. The wrangling is getting worse as factions battle to succeed the 90-year-old president. A gag order issued by party chairman Simon Kayamoyo has caused a further friction in the party as people jostle for positions ahead of the party's December elective congress. A faction allegedly led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa is defying the directive, and some of its sympathizers, headed by ZANU-PF Harare Provincial Youth League Chairman Godwin Gomwe, has vowed to petition Mr. Mugabe on Sunday to censure Kayamoyo, who is also allegedly aligned to a rival faction led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Kayamoyo issued the gag barring provincial party bosses from speaking publicly about factional issues in the party. He also said they should not abuse First Lady Grace Mugabe's name in their factional fight for, quote, cheap political gain. Mujuru and Mnangagwa have both denied that they lead factions.
The party's women's and youth leagues have endorsed the First Lady to become the women's league boss, replacing incumbent Opa Muchinguri. Insiders say the Mnangagwa faction has launched a media propaganda to paint the Mujuru camp as being against the rise of Mrs. Mugabe. Information Minister Jonathan Moyo, said to be linked to the Mnangagwa camp, is accused of using his influence at state newspapers, in particular the Herald, to attack his rivals. The Mujuru camp wants Mr. Mugabe to reign in Moyo. Both camps are also pushing for the expulsion of rivals ahead of the Congress. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says those questioning Kayamoyo's directives are ill-informed and the party will take action against them and the Herald.
No one prevents anybody from campaigning for their candidates. We encourage that. We would like them to do that. But it is the way it is done. Is the way it is presented in the public domain that it raises certain questions about perhaps some people having an agenda using the newspapers, particularly the Herald, as a forum to try and advance their strategy or their plans or agenda.
But the Herald is a newspaper, Mr. Gumbo, that I think in terms of media freedom is the right to publish whatever it feels is in the interest of the public. What are your concerns there?
For myself, I've told our local journalists, look, you can ask me any question about anything. If I'm able to answer it, I'll answer it. But if I'm not able to answer it, I can't. But what we are seeing coming out of the Herald, which is out of this world, the Herald, since I have known it, has never behaved in the way it is doing at the present moment. Where there is an issue, they want to hammer home every day talking about ZANU-PF being divided, knives again being drawn against other people. You know, but that's not the way to build morality in the party, in society.
But Mr. Gumba, are you not confusing the Herald with the People's Voice? Because the Herald is independent from the party.
You can't say it's independent. That is owned 100% by the government. And the party has an input in that. So you can't talk about that and pretend that the Herald is an independent. It's not an independent paper. It's a public paper which supports the government, that it was bought by the government in 1980. We got money from Nigeria to buy the Herald in order to advance the policies, the interests of the government.
But it has some private investors now, isn't it?
Yes, it makes, yes, private investors, but with the dominant finger or dominant voice in the Herald.
That was the ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The MDCT says its constitutional review committee, which was led by Deputy National Chairman Morgan Komichi, wrapped up its task of gathering views from party members yesterday. The views are expected to be incorporated into the party's constitution at the party's congress in October. Party spokesman Douglas Monzora says the committee will soon hand over its report to the national executive. But there are divisions over some of the suggestions, with some in the party calling for the reduction of the Secretary General's powers and the consolidation of the party president's powers. Some in the party are opposed to the proposals. Monzora speaks to reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
The committee completed its work yesterday with preparation of a report for the national executive. What is important is that this is a committee of the national executive and therefore must report its work to the national executive. Once it has reported its work to the national executive will then make decision about what amendments have to be made, if any, into the constitution. But it is critically important that the committee will present us to report the report of what the members of the MDC said. And in presenting that report, it has no discretion of rejecting others and accepting other things. That is the decision of the national executive and even the national council. But we are waiting for the report to be tabled to the national executive.
Some provinces have rejected some of the proposed changes or amendments. What is coming from the remaining provinces?
There are quite a lot of reactions to certain ideas that were given province by province. Some were happy with other things, some were not happy with other things. We have agreed that I will make a full report to the nation about what each and every province said once the report of this committee has been tabled before the national executive. Right now, it's a bit too early because I haven't seen the copy of the report yet. But when I reported the three provinces, it was something that I had personally myself observed because I had been there.
That was spokesman Douglas Monzora of the MDCT on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Political commentator Meli Dube of Bulawayo Agenda tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that Mr. Tswangirai should ensure that his party has a democratic constitution.
What I think might come out is a reflection of what MDC or any other political party in Zimbabwe has become or is becoming. You'd realize that the ZANU-PF culture and disease is very contagious and affecting other political movements, other political organizations as well. So I will not be surprised to see a lot of consolidation of power, a lot of ZANU-PF-like kind of outcome out of that process, because I think the issue of personality cult is happening in all political parties in Zimbabwe. So I won't be surprised if they come up with a constitution that is ZANU-PF-like.
Now, why is it that Zimbabwe has got this kind of culture? Do you have an idea?
You know what happens, Gibbs, in my knowledge, is that the political party that actually brought independence, or the political parties that brought independence, ZANU-PF and ZAPU, they adopted a culture from Ian Smith of totalitarianism, totalitarianistic kind of way.
And they also copied from the Russians, the Chinese, the communist kind of political movement. So I think they basically show those characteristics. And unfortunately, a political culture is set by the dominant voice in a country. And Zanu-PF has been dominant since 1980.
And that was political commentator Meli Dube of Bulawayo Agenda on the line with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
The National Railways of Zimbabwe says it has successfully evicted 50 families from the company's Westgate compound in Bulawayo following skirmishes with the police yesterday, as the families, mostly comprising of former NRZ workers, resisted eviction over claims that the NRZ owes them outstanding compensation for the houses they were occupying. The former workers say the NRZ owed them compensation for not allowing them to retain the houses, as the parastatal has done in areas including Tegela, Bellevue, and Sizinda. Anti-riot police had to be called in yesterday to evict the former workers, and five were arrested in the process. NRZ Public Relations Manager Fanuel Masikati tells reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga the parastatal was following a court order, as the former workers were only allowed to stay for 3 months on the premises after termination of employment.
The issue of compensation and other things they are talking about, I think that issue was resolved sometimes that they were. I want to clear the air that where people are now talking about 35,000. That was the same dollar area, that those were $6 sometimes. Yes, there was something like that, but I'm sure those that were directly involved, because if you're looking at those, most of those people, they are not directly involved. Some of them were the spouses, even if they left the places, there are some people that only are refusing to come out of that place. So, as far as we are concerned, all due process was followed until we got to the extent where we agreed, all the parties agreed to make sure that we will get there.
Do you have any considerations for where they will stay, for those who have nowhere to go, and any plans for compensation, and how much is it now, even if it was in Zim dollars?
The other stakeholders that were involved, it is the deliberations to the extent of this issue did not start now. It's going back as far as 2004. We then we try to make sure that we win and get the court order to get. But I think there were arrangements that they should we give them enough time so that they could seek alternative accommodations. And some of them, I'm told that they will continue to stay there, but they had the accommodations somewhere else, at houses somewhere.
That was NRZ Public Relations Manager Fanuel Masikati on the line from Bulawayo with Sitandekile Mhlanga.
HIV activists are rallying behind Health Minister David Parirenyatwa's statements that prophets who claim they can cure AIDS should be arrested. Parirenyatwa told the Senate yesterday that he was worried by church leaders or prophets who discourage their congregants from taking their medication, claiming they can heal them with the so-called holy waters and prayer. The minister promised to engage his Home Affairs counterpart Kembo Mahadi over such clerical claimants, saying they can be arrested as they pose danger to society. And Parirenyatwa is getting support from AIDS activists like Obed Banda, who tells reporter Ntungameli Nkomo people living with HIV should not be misled by prophets who claim they can heal them.
There's no cure for AIDS, HIV, whatever the case could be, but it's surprising that people are being deceived. That if you take holy water, I've heard some people saying there is there are oils that are being used, but I don't know what is happening exactly. These people, they are being deceived. They are in a denial stage, or they still have unfinished business. They never got counseling basically, or I don't know. Because these people, I think they were not ready to take this era, such issues, but there are processes that can help them to cure HIV into their bodies. This is totally a sad story, because even right away, scientists are busy, are working day and night in the laboratories, trying to find a cure, but it's not there.
Would you support the view that these prophets should be punished severely, including being arrested?
That could be a good idea, but then the approaching strategies to those people, we need to have tangible evidence, maybe to get rid of those people, where to bring those people, because still those people were coming to those prophets, telling other people in the support group, they are endangering, they are destroying support group. This is not acceptable. And then we have to unite. Whatever it means, we are prepared to have an awareness, to have matches, and then talk about the issue. No, we are against that kind of behaviors, issues. They are not acceptable. People were living better now, but now people are defaulting, they are going to the prophets. It's not acceptable. There's nothing of that nature. Water and these oils, they don't cure the virus.
HIV activist Obet Banda on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, Dr. Parire Nyatwa has differed sharply with Registrar General Tobaiwa Mudede on the issue of contraceptives. Mudede is on record condemning contraceptives, saying they stunt Zimbabwe's population and pose a health risk to women. But Dr. Parire Nyatwa said yesterday that his ministry encourages the use of contraceptives. He also defended his position that condoms should be placed inside Bibles and distributed in churches so as to promote HIV prevention.
Hi there, my name is Tabitha Kaningoni Malinga. Join me and Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye as we talk about my journey to becoming an MP and Deputy Minister in the ZANU-PF government. I'd like to encourage you to listen to the Women's Forum tomorrow. Hope you tune in.
Coming up.
Small-scale Gweru business flourishes as companies close.
But first, we look at regional and international news.
The Ebola outbreak in West Africa is now spread to Senegal, which announced its first case today. Health Minister Awamari Call Sec told reporters that the infected person is a Guinean university student who sought treatment at a hospital in Senegal's capital, Dakar, this week.
Britain has raised its terror threat level from substantial to severe today, as British Prime Minister David Cameron said the poisonous Islamist extremist narrative is becoming a big problem for his country and the globe.
And NATO has called on Russia to cease its illegal military operations in eastern Ukraine that it says are aimed at destabilizing the country. The comments by NATO Chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen on Friday followed an emergency meeting in Brussels to discuss the worsening crisis.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Statistics on the Zimbabwean economy do not make good reading. Foreign investment has been dwindling and more companies have been scaling down or closing down completely. But amid all the doom and gloom, one Gweru-based small-scale clothing manufacturing company is going against the grain, much to the surprise of many. Correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
51-year-old Michael Piri speaks with an enthusiasm and confidence that are hard to miss. He is a perennial optimist. Having worked as a technician and later a manager for a parastatal for over 20 years, Piri decided to leave his secure job in 2004 and start Mess Clothing, a clothing company which manufactures and sells school uniforms, academic regalia, and corporate wear. Inspired by the sewing hobby of his wife, who had just retired from teaching, Piri saw an opportunity in the closure of the major players in the country's clothing industry and decided it was time for indigenous players like him to enter the industry. With the country's worsening economic problems culminating in the collapse of the Zimbabwean dollar in 2008, Piri might have chosen an inauspicious time to venture into business. But in spite of the difficulties, the self-confessed devout Christian put his faith in God and soldiered on.
The collapse of the Zim dollar, it was very difficult. We lost a lot of money, we lost a lot of business. But again, you have to tell yourself and you have to look up to God. God has been very faithful to give us room and space. And also, I must ask them to say, our customers, the parents, the schools, have been very supportive. And because of that support, and we owe it to them, we have continued to be in business. I think there's been an understanding between us and our customers, and we've been able to forge on.
Piri is a member of the local chapters of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries and the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, and has held a national position in the latter. The businessman describes himself as a lifelong learner and says he combines the experience he gathered as a manager during his career, as well as the business skills he has learned from both CZI and ZNCC to try and run a successful business. Besides his belief in God, Piri also believes that the key to success is in respecting his clients and always seeking to provide them with quality products and service.
As local artists, we benefit very much because we used to go for recordings in Harare and Bulawayo, which proved to be very expensive. But if the station happened to be here, then we can do everything without incurring unnecessary expenses.
Mess Clothing supplies academic regalia to the Midland State University and Mkoba Teachers College. It also supplies uniforms and sportswear to Midlands Christian College and Cecil John Rhodes Primary School, among others. Although it did not reveal the company's financial figures, Piri says while nationwide industrial capacity utilization has declined from 57% in 2012 to about 34% in 2013, his own company's capacity utilization stands at 100% and he has to put his workers on shift work in order to satisfy demand. Finance and administration manager Lynette Mwirimi joined Mess Clothing in 2009 when the firm only had 30 employees. Now it has nearly 80 workers. Lynette reiterates that the company's shared strong belief in God and prioritization of its customers' needs contribute to its success.
I'm hoping that the youth are helped in job creation and they get somewhere with their lives.
Marketing and sales manager Joshua Zinema joined Mess Clothing in 2012, a year after graduating from the MSU. Joshua, who says he has learnt a lot about the essentials of business from the time he joined the company, shares the belief that recognizing the importance of clients and providing quality service are part of the reasons why Mess Clothing continues to thrive.
You know, communication is always the best way in doing things. Without communication and without the relevant information passed at the right time, things have we will always have a problem.
While he admits that his company is doing relatively well under the prevailing circumstances, Piri says one of the problems his company has to grapple with is the dwindling disposable incomes in homes caused by an economy that continues to struggle. While applauding government's support for small businesses, Piri decries the state's indecisiveness when it comes to issues of protecting local businesses from cheap imports from China, adding that government needs to do more to support small businesses and industry in general.
Industry at its peak, 35,000, because you know we can hardly hit 6,000. Nyika yose saka again it's because of my challenges wao zvinhu zviri kubva kunze kwenyika my cheap imports ari kuuya in a manner city controlled tinoona sekuti hurumende could do more pakucontrola kuva kwedu dumping ground both my new clothing, but of a poor and inferior quality, and also my second hand. Maberoaya, we are known for being a dumping ground. Maberoaya, it's going to affect the clothing industry.
Piri agrees with experts who say small to medium businesses have the potential to drive Zimbabwe's economy to recovery and growth. But as the experts note, without the urgent implementation of sound investment policies, even the few businesses that have managed to stay afloat in difficult times like Piri's may end up having to also close shop. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shawa.
The mayoress of Chitungwiza, Alice Kuveya Mutoti, has launched a cleanup campaign of the satellite town and is urging residents and the council to join her team to ensure Chitungwiza is clean. The Stand Up and Clean Chitungwiza campaign was launched under the theme Marara Mubini to encourage residents not to litter the town. It targets all the 25 wards in the satellite town and will run for the next 3 months. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Mayoress Kuveya Mutoti about the campaign.
We have decided as residents of Chitungwiza to clean the city ourselves. So we started yesterday in Ward 2, is the ward where my husband is the councillor, where we launched the Stand Up Clean Chitungwiza campaign yesterday. We had about 100 people from around the area, and some came from different places. We want to thank the municipality of Chitungwiza because they are the ones who provided with the brooms, the beans, the caterpillar, and the car that was carrying the rat.
What areas are you targeting with this campaign?
In Chitungwiza, we have got 25 wards. So we are aiming to finish these 25 wards in 3 months. But we are facing a lot of challenges. For example, yesterday when we cleaned the rubbish and we put them in different heaps in Ward 2, we had shortages of fuel from the municipality's car. So what I'm saying is we are seeking for any donations, any help, any cars, so that we can go ahead with this campaign. We are also seeking people from different areas. We had cleaned Ward 2 and we'll be going to Ward 1 next week. We are asking any help from different people. Even come on to the internet, beans, t-shirts, refreshments, and anything that we can use in this campaign to clean Chitungwiza.
That was Mayoress of Chitungwiza, Alice Kuveya Mutoti, speaking with reporter Tatenda Gumbo.
Here now is the mailbag that you, the listeners, send to us to read live on air. What do we have, Sandy?
Yes, we have a lot of emails, Chris. We won't be able to fit all of them in, but let's try. We have a letter here from Set Free Makaya in Bochamarange. He says, you are very truthful. Sure, guys, keep the good work up. Zimbabwe needs you. We need to hear from you. Don't forget to give us a sweet country music from the Cowboys. Let us unite. Things are not as easy, but things will go our way soon.
And we have another one from Rodman who says, may the Minister of Education stamp out people with non-teaching qualifications in schools. I'm a newly qualified teacher who's being denied the right to stay with my family because of these so-called teachers with no teaching qualifications. And he calls himself a disappointed teacher.
We have another email, Chris, from Dominic Stole. He says Mr. Mugabe should face reality and sort out the Gukurahundi massacres. Otherwise, this economy will never be right. All those 20,000 dead are turning in their graves.
And then we have someone who says, greetings to everyone at Studio 7. My name is Tsitsi Sembe. I'm in Risutu in Chimanimani. Things are well here in Risutu. Keep on keeping on, he says.
Yes, and we have another one by Max Woshonai in Chipinge. Thank you for giving us real news. Keep on keeping on.
And another one from Traume in Johannesburg who says, thank you all for your efforts to give us real news. A big up to Jonga and Sandra. You are really talented. Thank you, guys. Please greet for me the whole Tarume family in Zimbabwe.
We also have another email, Chris, from a listener who did not give us their name, thanking us for the Women's Forum. They are thanking Marvelous Ntlanganya Wiye for a great job. They want more time. We'll have to speak to the bosses about giving you at least about 6 or so minutes. We'll do our best. Thank you for writing.
And we have another one from Karoi, and that's Bernard Kanga Usaru in Polokwane, South Africa. And he says, I thank you, Studio 7, for broadcasting and bringing current news without taking sides. I wish if you could broadcast 24/7, Sandy.
Time, Chris, is not our best ally, unfortunately. We have to leave it there. We'll read more emails next week. But now we recap today's top stories.
President Robert Mugabe is expected to return home Sunday from his five-day visit to China and head straight into a political storm.
And HIV activist Beck Health Minister David Parenya to a statement that prophets who claim they can cure AIDS should be arrested.
That's all. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Good night from Sandra Nyaira. Wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.